Welcome to the podcast that focuses on simplifying your TIAA accounts. Your host, Greg Shepherd, is an independent fee-only financial advisor that specializes in helping folks in higher ed get the most out of their TIAA accounts.
Hey there, folks. Greg Shepherd here, TIAA Simplified, name of the podcast. Hope everyone's doing well out there. I've been gone for a little bit from the podcast realm. Been doing the YouTube thing, though, so if you haven't checked out the YouTube channel, by all means, do so. Name is the same, TS Simplified, over there on the YouTube platform. It's been pretty popular, so I've taken a little bit of a hiatus from the podcast episode thing. A lot of you have been kind enough to point that out via email and phone. So I'm back. Going forward, folks, we're going to focus more on a monthly basis, going to focus on, you know, the more popular questions that you've asked, you know, month prior, and also the more popular YouTube episodes, I guess you call them, that you all find more relevant, okay? So again, my name is Greg Shepherd. For those of you that don't know me, I do specialize in just simplifying those oftentimes confusing TIAA accounts. Been doing so for 20-some-odd years, helping folks just like yourself all over the country, okay? So with that being said, like I mentioned, these episodes are going to focus more on what's on your mind, right? What you've brought to my attention and things that have helped you good folks out there over the course of the last maybe 30 days or so. So my idea is to focus on three or four topics, kind of keep the juices flowing. I've got so many topics I can hone in on, so we're not going to run out of material. But the first three topics here that I have written down, I have no notes. We're going to shoot from the hip and see how it goes. The first one's more of a PSA. It was a rather popular topic on the YouTube side of things, so I decided to bring it over to the platform of the podcast world, and that is hiring an advisor, okay? Now, let me dive into this and really get into the nuts and bolts of what I'm talking about. I had one instance that where one of you folks out there watching, or I can't recall exactly, watching YouTube or listening to the episode, contacted me and asked me about my thoughts around this advisor she was about to hire. She actually went to one of these, you know, these steak dinner things. It wasn't actually a steak dinner, but it was one of those cattle calls, right, where you go to a restaurant and they feed you, of course, and they tell you all about how great they are, and they dress nice. He or she dresses nice. They speak real well. But again, at the end of the day, who does that person work for? So this person called me, this potential client, never became a client, by the way, but lack of a better term, let's call him potential client, contacted me and said, hey, I went to this steak dinner thing. This person presented me with this. You know, what are your thoughts around that? Okay, so I don't lie in the gray area, right? So I'm pretty black and white when it comes to this kind of stuff. And so I just asked some qualifying questions. You know, what's going on? Where does this person work? What are you trying to accomplish? And all that good stuff. So obviously this person has TIAA stuff quite a bit. If I recall correctly, like north of, you know, a couple million. So there's some money to be made on my side of things, the advisor side of things, right? So the advisor, you know, they do these questionnaires at these cattle calls, right? And found out that this individual, this potential client, had, you know, north of $2 million, but it was over at TIA. And so this individual, again, potential client, met with that advisor at the advisor's office, obviously, dressed real sharp, talked real well. I won't reveal the name of the company that he or she worked for. I may have done that on my YouTube side of things, but I won't do it here. And started telling this individual, yes, we can do all these things with TIA. And I tell you what, the number one thing this advisor was, the goal for this advisor was really to liquidate everything at TIA and just transfer it over to their platform. Let's call it Charles Schwab. They weren't utilizing Schwab, but for the sake of time and actually the lack of my memory, we're going to utilize Charles Schwab here. So this advisor wanted to transfer everything from TIA over to Schwab. Why? Okay. So that was my first question. And I already knew the answer because, folks, that advisor can't charge a fee while the monies are over at TIA. So he or she, this advisor, doing their damnedest, doing their best to get those monies out of TIA, transfer them over to Schwab where he or she can access those fees. They can charge a fee. Okay. Not only that, when I started asking this individual, this potential client, you know, what are your investments over at TIA? You know, what are you looking to accomplish and all that fun stuff? None of what this potential client was trying to accomplish, how do I word this? That advisor was not putting her in a better position. So what she was trying to accomplish was some fixed income and all that fun stuff that's associated with not transferring money from Tia over to Schwab in this case, okay? So she was better served staying at Tia, implementing some of the strategies associated with Tia Traditional to accomplish some of the goals that she was looking for. And I asked this lady, this potential client, you know, how is this advisor trying to extract monies from Tia? And she gave me kind of this, we'll call it a flow chart that this advisor gave her. Folks, it wasn't even, implementable. Some of the things that this advisor was trying to do, you can't do, okay? So I warned her. I said, hey, this advisor, speaks well, dresses nice. He or she, I'm not going to get into the nuts and bolts of where the advisor was. He or she, this advisor is only interested in one thing, in making money. Okay. This advisor was relatively new to the game, and it's eat what you kill, right? Trying to take on as many clients as they can and charge as many fees as they can. Okay. So I told this individual, stick with Tia. I gave her some advice, some free advice, some pointers, if you will, and told her, hey, you can actually accomplish what you're trying to do without an advisor. Let me show you how. So lo and behold, this potential client did not hire the advisor. Folks, if you run across a situation or anything similar to this, okay, I'm going to leave you with one thing here on this topic. What you do, and what I ask this individual, this potential client to ask said advisor, is what is your APIN number, APIN? What is your APIN number, Mr. or Mrs. Advisor? Okay, now, if that advisor looks at you like a deer in headlights, there is an obvious sign that the advisor is not associated with Tia, therefore not able to coherently provide you with a strategic game plan when it comes to Tia. Okay? Now, if that advisor does give you their APIN number, that's a great start. Okay? That means he or she, this advisor, is a part of Tia's advisor network, and he or she probably has some experience with Tia. Then the next question is, how many clients do you direct or help that are associated with Tia? You know, just start asking some open-ended questions where you can kind of get a grasp on how this advisor has worked with Tia. Okay, now, if you're working directly with Tia, because these are the independent advisors, by the way, okay? I want to make sure I clarify. These are the independent advisors I'm talking about. These fee-only, non-commission advisors, RIA, okay? RIAs, that's what it's called in my industry. Of course, you have the option to work directly with Tia, and there are good folks over there, but the only downside of working with a Tia advisor is, guess what? They work for Tia. So, of course, they're going to try to implement what's under the Tia umbrella, right? Which makes sense, because from a business perspective, they're going to do what's in the best interest of their company, okay? Which is fine. That's how, you know, capitalism, that's how business works, right? So in my opinion, I think you want an independent advisor if you're looking to hire one. But those qualifying questions, first, APIN number, what is it, Mr. or Mrs. Advisor? And then second, if they've passed question number one, how many times or how are we going to word this? How often or how many clients do you have associated with Tia? You know, what are some strategies you've implemented? You know, kind of just get a feel and see about the comfort of this advisor with Tia. Hopefully that makes sense. Okay, this individual almost made a mistake, hiring this advisor, and all this advisor was interested is in moving money as quickly as possible from Tia over to, in this case, Schwab, for the lack of my memory, and then charging a fee. Okay, that's it. All right, so be careful, do some due diligence, be your own advocate, all those fun cliches, okay? So that's the first topic that I wanted to address via this episode, was independent advisors, what to look for when they, the advisor, are helping you with your Tia accounts. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and move on to topic number two. Before I get going, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you, let you know how to get a hold of me in case you get in the weeds on this episode or any other episode of my podcast or that YouTube channel for that matter. Email address is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. That is greg@shepherdfinancial.com. That is greg@shepherdfinancial.com. Phone number, I reside in the Kansas City area, 913-521-2381. Okay, folks, liquidity versus illiquidity when it comes to traditional. Now, the catalyst for this topic is, well, really, your all's emails and phone calls, Zoom calls, all one and the same, various asked or I guess presented to me various ways. You all are finding out about the illiquidity aspect of that traditional way too late, all right? We need to go into these traditional monies knowing that they're liquid or illiquid. Liquid or illiquid. Time and time again, I've talked about this. I've reiterated till I'm blue in the face on episodes on this podcast and the YouTube channel. And whenever I do an episode like this, and I guarantee after I'm done with this and I present it to the public, I'm going to get some, you know, emails and phone calls that spurs your all's interest in trying to figure out if your traditional monies are liquid or illiquid, which is perfectly fine. That's great. That's what we're doing here. So I need everybody out there, if you're not familiar with TIAA, specifically the traditional part of the account, figure out what type of contract it's in. What I mean by that is we're looking for those acronyms. It's a TIA alphabet soup. We're looking at RAs, GRAs, SRAs, GSRAs, RCs, RCPs. What kind of contract is traditional in, and is there illiquidity aspects associated with said contract? I feel like I'm lecturing my 10-year-old daughter here, so I apologize. What we don't want is to get, you know, a couple years away from retirement or after retirement. Typically, that doesn't happen. Typically, it's a few years, couple, 3 years before retirement, and then you figure out that that money, those monies, are illiquid. Okay, case in point, probably the worst, and again, I've seen a lot of these scenarios play out, and then, folks hire me to kind of unwind the situation as best we can. There's only a finite number of ways to do this, but the worst case is I sat across from the table, literally sat across from the table in person, and talking to a lady about onboarding as a client. I think it was our second meeting, and I had already done some my own due diligence, got her statements, went online, and did all this fun stuff. I already knew it was going to transpire, and she had quite a bit of money. I mean, folks, she was single, north of 1.5 million, and from recollection, most of it, when I say most of it, we're talking north of a million sitting in that TI traditional in an illiquid contract unbeknownst to her. And so I was a bearer of bad news. She, before I even got the words out of my mouth, she indicated to me that the goal, the sole purpose of this money, a lot of it, I mean, it was to pay off a mortgage. Obviously, her mortgage wasn't $1 million, but she wanted to use that money to pay off mortgage, pay off debt, and then be debt-free at retirement. And she had plenty of money to live, in her golden years with the rest of the money that was in traditional. Now, she was fine financially, okay? She came on board. She's still a client. Monetarily, she was fine. But I tell you what, this really could have backed up on her if she wasn't so diligent, so responsible when it came to investing money, putting away money to begin with, okay? So I tell you what, though, she's a firecracker. She got on the phone. She got on the horn with Tia after our meeting, and she told me what she's going to tell Tia. One of these days, I'm literally going to ask her what she said to Tia, because we do have that kind of relationship. But after she literally cried, okay, it was an emotional situation where she found out that the monies that she was going to use to pay off her mortgage was literally tied up, and she didn't have access to it. I don't want this to happen. It's going to happen, unfortunately, to some of you folks out there, okay? That's why I'm trying to get this across to you all. I don't want this to happen to you all. So you need to find out the liquidity or illiquidity aspect of that traditional inside the contracts that you have. So, again, this lady was a firecracker. She got on the horn. I do not want to be on the other side of that phone call with Tia when she got a hold of them. So I never asked her, what came of that phone call. I know monetarily nothing, because there's nothing you can do. We just had to enact or initiate some of the strategies that we did. And she was fine monetarily. But, it's almost like the trust was broken, because she had sat across the table, proverbial table, never really met with them in person, talked to them on the phone. She did go to the cattle calls every now and again, but wasn't that personal. She was never told in like 30 some odd years that money was illiquid. Now, she never asked, okay? The old adage, you don't know what you don't know. this comes into play with those things. I tell people time and time again, and some of you, some of my clients might be listening to this, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. So I deal a lot with Arizona State University professors. They have a great space, how do we know what you call it? Space exploration program down there. I literally have rocket scientists as clients. I mean, they would run, you know, circles around me intellectually, which isn't really hard to do, but they just can't figure this stuff out. They don't want, let me back up. They don't want to figure it out. It's too complicated. You don't have all the information at your fingertips. So again, you don't know what you don't know. So don't be shy. Don't be bashful. I deal with very, very intelligent people every day having trouble trying to figure this stuff out. So point of this topic is really, it's very simple. I want you to find out the illiquidity or liquidity aspect of your traditional monies, okay? And don't let anybody out there, absent of, you know, you or, you know, you're working with Tia, tell you that you need to liquidate these monies, okay? Now, let's back up a little bit. I have clients that I have purposely locked their money up. So what do I mean by that? I just did this, well, specifically, this is 2024, by the way. This is July of 2024. It's only 3,000 degrees outside here in the Midwest. But back in November of 2023 was one of the highest, if not the highest, one of the highest rates traditional was presenting at the time, and maybe since inception of traditional. I don't know that to be a fact. I might actually delete that part of this episode if I knew how. I'm not really sure how, but regardless, the rates were high. So back then, I was telling some of my clients that were conservative, or the conservative part of their portfolio, that were a little younger. When I say a little younger, you know, 15 years away from retirement, something like that, or of course more than that. Let's go ahead and put some of these monies, future contributions and static monies, into this RA contract, which is a liquid traditional. Let's get 6.75%. With the knowledge that we're locking that money up, and there's certain things we can do to extract those monies at a certain period of time in the future, okay? So there's nothing wrong with that as long as you understand the strategy going forward. So like in this case, we're going to go ahead and initiate the 10-year TPA on those monies when he's, you know, 5-3-ish years away from retirement, because he doesn't need these monies to live on. All right, he's got plenty of other money. He's a doctor down at Children's Hospital, Children's Mercy. Got plenty of money, okay? So we don't need these monies, but it's his conservative sleeve of the portfolio. Folks, very difficult to find a bond portfolio, bond investment that's going to pay you 6.75%, here in air quotes, in perpetuity, okay? Now, if you want to unwind or dig into what perpetuity means in this case, I'd be more than happy to have that conversation, but you'll be very hard-pressed to find any bond investment that's going to get north of 6% consistently, all right? Now, we're not getting those rates now, okay? So don't get it twisted about traditional monies right now. We are not getting those rates. You are not getting 6.75% for new monies going in. That was just an example, a real-life example, but nonetheless, doesn't apply to today's rates. So moral of the story is don't be afraid of going into illiquid contracts as long as you know what you're doing and have an exit strategy. If you have no idea what these acronyms are for your contracts, GRA, RA, you know, all of those, like I said, alphabet, TIA, alphabet soup, let me know and I can walk you through it. I can hold your hand and walk you through it. It's very simple. It'll take me, you know, 30 seconds to do so. Okay, folks, let's go ahead and move on to topic number 3. I'm reading a couple notes here that I actually did write down, not very coherently, but what I'm going to do here is give you a real case scenario. Oh yeah, okay, I recall this. I was reading it as I was talking. Okay, so what we're talking about here on topic number 3 is lifetime income, okay? Lifetime income against 10-year TPA. It's number 10, 10-year TPA versus lifetime income, okay? Now, the reason I'm bringing this up is this backdrop here is that a prospective, we'll call him a prospective client, came to me after watching the YouTube channel, I can't recall, or the episode here, on one of the episodes on the podcast, and brought to my attention that she being a 70-year-old lady, higher ed, retired, looking to do the TPA, 10-year TPA, paid out over 9 years. And before she even became a client, what I wanted to do was what I told her is, hey, let me just extract some information for you, because I knew she had been a TIAA participant for quite a long time. In recollection, we're talking 30-plus years. So I knew that her traditional monies, she had obviously money in traditional, had been around a long time. Loyalty bonuses were going to be fairly good. And I was going to guess the payout rate on lifetime income was going to be rather attractive, okay? So she was dead set on this 10-year TPA, but I said, hey, let's just hold tight and let me do my due diligence. Let me get back to you, and you know, then we'll pull the trigger whenever you want after that fact, because once you initiate a strategy, it's irrevocable, which she knew, but we wanted to make sure we're doing the right thing here. So lo and behold, I got authorization on the account. We did a Zoom call. And folks, here's what I found in her situation. I don't have the exact dollar amounts, but in this case, the TIAA lifetime income paid only slightly less monthly, but obviously for a longer period of time, which equates to her life, right? Of course, it goes without saying that 10-year TPA, well, if you didn't know, it's paid out over 9 years, not 10, but her expected life is longer, I would assume, than 9 years. So she found that pretty interesting, okay? She didn't even go down the path of exploring those lifetime income payments because that wasn't of interest to her. So let me give you a couple key takeaways from this. First, make sure, okay, another PSA, make sure you do your own due diligence when it comes to initiating these strategies with your illiquid traditional monies, okay? Even if you're not, like this case, this lady really had no interest in lifetime income annuity. She had this bad connotation. You know, the word annuity has this bad connotation to it. Folks, the annuity from TIA traditional, let me back up. Annuity by definition is just a fixed set stream of income on a payment period, you know, monthly, quarterly, or annually. That's the definition of an annuity. These annuity products that you hear about outside of TIA, yeah, a lot of those are trash with the expenses and M&E expenses and the surrender charges. Those characteristics are not embedded within TIA traditional. There's expenses that are hidden, I'll grant you that, but we don't have the surrender charges, the M&E, mortality and expense rates, and all that fun stuff with, and I say we, I'm talking about TIA. I do not work for TIA, as you know, but I digress a little bit. So what I'm getting at is make sure you understand and explore all your options when it comes to those illiquid traditional monies, because something might surprise you. Like in this case, a lifetime income was a more attractive option than this 10-year TPA, and she never would have explored that if I hadn't intervened and just set her on the right path. Now, another takeaway from this is that she had talked to another advisor. Okay, this goes back to these advisors, right? He was not knowledgeable about TIAA at all, other than the fact that he found out that the traditional and the RA contract of which she had, you could do a 10-year TPA paid out over 9 years annually, liquidate that account, transfer those monies on an annual basis to an IRA, where this advisor can do what? Okay, if I've taught you nothing, this advisor can now charge a fee. So this advisor had no idea what the lifetime income annuity option was. No, that's not true. Did have a clue what the lifetime income annuity option was, but told her it wasn't in her best interest and that we needed to do the 10-year TPA, but come to find out so they didn't explore that option. So keep in mind, once again, if you run across an advisor that does not have an APIN number, he or she is not capable to coherently and competently provide you all strategies involved with your traditional monies, or TIA in general, for that matter. Okay, so keep that in mind. So two key takeaways. Make sure you know your options with the illiquid monies and traditional, given the various contracts that you have. Number two, just be wary of these advisors when they tell you immediately, well, let's liquidate, do the 10-year TPA, the 5-year fix, roll over to an IRA, and then extract money from there. I do advocate that a lot of times for good reason. Okay, acting as a fiduciary, there's a reason I advocate that in certain scenarios. But there's also scenarios where I'm saying, hey, lifetime income, let's go down that road, of which I do not get paid on, which is perfectly fine, okay, folks? Remember, every situation is unique, okay? It's a cliche, right? It's like a snowflake, but it truly is. There's not one, well, maybe there is, but I don't go in to talking to folks that have TIA with a preset determined game plan. Everyone is unique, and every potential client has a different income need associated with their situation. All right, folks, so that's topic number three. I can't think of anything else to divide your time with. So once again, I'll reiterate, if you find yourself in the weeds a little bit, a little confused, you want your TIA life simplified, by all means, contact me. My email, once again, greg@shepherdfinancial.com, greg@shepard, financial.com. Phone number here in the Kansas City area, 913-521-2381. Again, name Greg Shepherd here, TIAA Simplified Podcast, telling you all to take control of your retirement today. Take care, folks.
Thanks for listening to the TIAA Simplified Podcast. Just because this episode is over doesn't mean you can't continue your TIAA journey. Please visit www.safinancialservices.com to see how you can work with Greg.
S&A Financial Services is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.